you very much, Henry. It's a privilege and a pleasure to serve as chairman this evening. I would like to call your attention to a breakfast meeting tomorrow morning of the membership of the Philadelphia Society in the Cotillion Room at 9 o'clock. Equality, as Henry just remarked, has been a perennial problem in American democracy. From the time of Tocqueville, at least, to the present. And it's one of the curious aspects of the way in which we human beings deal with problems that the issue is phrased in terms of equality rather than inequality. We all have direct, immediate, vivid, empirical experience of inequality. It is a something which we all know about. But equality is an abstraction. It does not, in fact, exist at all. And the fact of its non-existence and the overwhelming experience and knowledge of men everywhere of inequality is the focus of the present debate concerning equality. You all know of Christopher Jenks' book on equality. The chief thrust of the book, however, is that of presenting empirical evidence demonstrating that equality does not, in fact, exist. Let me read you a passage from two recent students of ethology, Lionel Tiger and Robin Fox, writing in a stunning book called The Imperial Animal. These gentlemen are very interested in the animal sources, the evolutionary sources of human behavior. And in the first chapter of this book, attempt to deal with the fact of inequality. In theory, they write, the perfect system would be a true democracy, not because it renders all men equal, but because it gives them an equal chance to become unequal. An aristocracy, on the other hand, allows them only an unequal chance to become unequal. Inequality is the goal of both systems. And democratic ideology and theory only become self-defeating when they confuse the democratic process with egalitarianism. Egalitarianism is often the stated goal of democratic idealists. Indeed, it is often adopted as a symbolic structure. Mr. President, Comrade Stalin, Citizen Robespierre. But here the possible hiatus between symbol and action is the most glaring, a continuing testimony to the human capacity for self-deception that is at once necessary and disastrous. Necessary because without it there would be no democratic ideals. Disastrous when it comes between us and a proper understanding of the limits within which those ideals can operate. So I suggest, change the program, that we talk about inequality rather than about equality. And I make a second suggestion. And that second suggestion is that we embrace inequality, that we do not try to remove it. Indeed, that we do all within our power to increase those inegalitarian differences which divide men. For I am convinced that the good society is only possible in a culture where these differences are manifest and where they are exploited to the common cultural advantage. I've always believed that all radical arguments, arguments that are genuinely radical, are ultimately conservative. That we, interestingly enough, begin with revolution and always end with conservatism. And one of the few people in the conservative camp who is genuinely radical in this sense, who persistently carries his arguments to their conclusions, is our speaker this evening, Ernest Bandenhag. Ernest Bandenhag, I have always believed, has one of the clearest, sharpest minds in the conservative camp. He is a professor of social philosophy at New York University. He is an adjunct professor at the New School for Social Research. He has written and spoken widely. His best-known book previous to Political Violence and Civil Disobedience is a book called The Jewish Mystique. And for my part, I think that in writing Political Violence and Civil Disobedience, Ernest Bandenhag has written a classic, a book that will be read 100 years hence. It is a masterpiece, and it is a definitive statement. Well, let's let Ernest defend his claim to all these high honors which I've just bestowed upon him. He's going to talk about inequality, justice, and poverty.